Let us pray. Loving God, help us to notice your presence here today among us and to notice in the world all you are doing to bring about your perfect justice and love in the whole world. Amen. Please, I do have a seat. I'll carry on using my radio mic. Andrew, thank you. Today's lectionary reading from the Hebrew Scriptures is from Joel, one of the minor prophets. Doesn't necessarily make him short in height or importance. In my God TV phase, I was fascinated by prophets, especially those who seem to have an eschatological or end times message. I wanted Jesus to stick it to the baddies as he came back with his sword of truth. In more recent times, after further study, I have come to the view that prophets are more about forth-telling rather than foretelling. And I have also come to the view that Jesus needs to sort me out as well, before we have a world fit to live in. Foretelling means magically predicting the future. Forthtelling is about calling out the bad ways of the people and asking them to turn to God and follow God's ways instead. And to remind people what God is like, how lovely and kind and wise in creating, sustaining and redeeming the world. Our true hope in dire circumstances. Scholars have argued about when Joel wrote this book. They have also argued about whether he was talking about real locusts or using them as a picture for enemies of the kingdom of Judah, who stole from them, captured, murdered, and exiled them. Certainly in the way of prophets, his words can be used as a story or allegory to describe real events by using striking images. The inhabitants of Judah went through some tough times. You might have seen what locusts do on those great TV nature programmes. When the locusts come to town, you can say goodbye to your dinner and your family and your life. They swoop in and the effect is catastrophic. God's promise to restore the years that the locusts have eaten could be viewed in a dualistic way. That God will punish Judah's enemies. The Hebrew scriptures have lots of goodies and baddies and battles between us and them. However, when read through the lens of Christ, it is possible to read Joel as speaking to all humanity. We have each been devastated by locusts, and we have each been the locusts that have devastated others. And God is going to restore us all and restore everything to us that we have all lost. I have taken great comfort in my own life in God's promise to restore the years the locusts have eaten. When I turned to Christ and asked for his help with my addictions, I held fast to his promises, which have all come true. I am becoming more sober a day at a time. When I asked God to bring me a suitable partner, as I was rubbish at picking people, God did. I'm very happy with Darren. When I asked God which church to go to, God sent me here. I love you, and I want to share God's comfort with you today. But first, why do we need God? I think, like Winnie the Pooh, we are each a bear of very little brain. We live in a country that prefers to reduce the tax on bankers' bonuses rather than increase welfare payments to the poor and needy. The love of money is surely the root of all evil. Our neighbours in Russia are spilling blood and causing fear and despair over oil, gas and precious minerals, and over more nebulous concepts such as which country they belong to. Power is an attractive evil too. Our neighbours in Iran are standing up to tyranny and for the rights of their women to let their hair flow down uncovered. Hatred of the weaker sex is a poison, and done in the name of religion. In Kenya, deception, corruption, and the misuse of power in elections are not helping lift up those without enough to eat. Have we learned nothing from the Holocaust while electing far-right candidates in so many countries, and now in Italy too? We are the locusts, and we are harmed by other locusts. But our loving parent is making all things new, restoring the years the locusts have eaten. The first thing to be restored is our life. Through a lack of wisdom and a lack of love, we die. Yet Christ has overcome death through his own death and our resurrection in him. We need not fear death anymore. So when John described Jesus as the light of the world, we are reminded that he is the light at the end of our tunnel. If we worry about our sick loved ones, there is light. If we miss our dead loved ones, there is light. If we mourn those we have hurt, there is light. We will have time. We will have more life. We will have time to grow so that the way of our being reflects the truth of our being in the likeness of God. But the comfort I want to share with you today is not just that there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is light now. The light of the world is with us now. He is restoring the world and its peoples now. He is that still small voice within each of us. I went to Lindisfarne last weekend. It's called Holy Island. It's known as a thin place. I asked God to come with me on the trip. Then I was thinking that that was silly. If it's a thin place, then God is especially there. But then I thought that's silly too, because God is everywhere. So I asked God, "Do you love it here?" God said yes. I asked, "Why?" "Because it's beautiful." And God said, "No." "Well, yes, it is beautiful." So I asked again why God loved it. And God said, "Because you are here." I felt loved. That's how God talks to me. He builds me up. And he loves you just like that. And every other human just like that. And God leads us into truth about ourselves as we spend time with him. He prompts us to share our time and our comfort and our food and our warmth, but most of all our light. When you are tempted to despair, know that the light shines in the darkness. Yes, there is more stuff to go through, but God will restore it all. All shall be well, eventually. Amen.